Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in the studio once again, Laura Padgett, a member of Wilmington City Council since 1993. If you'd like to ask her a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138, send an email to coastline@whqr.org, or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And we have Stephen from Holly Ridge. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, ladies. Thank you very much for taking my call. It's a great program. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Glad you called in.
You know, and you've been talking about parking, and you've been talking about bars, and I've lived between the Wilmington and Jacksonville areas since 85, so I've partied downtown Wilmington as a single Marine, and I've taken my kids downtown on Riverwalk and the Cotton Exchange, you know, in more recent years. So, you know, it's very near and dear to my heart, the stuff you're talking about. And I did want to mention about the parking, you know, here, for instance, and it's just such a coincidence, like about 2 weeks ago, I had to take my kid for an appointment down in Wilmington over by the hospital. Now, we live up in Holly Ridge, right? So it's a little bit out of the way. And they're like, hey, it's lunchtime. Let's go somewhere to eat. We could have went to McDonald's, Hardee's, whatever. And I was like, hey, you know what? Let's just stop downtown. We're not too far. We'll just stop out and get something to eat somewhere. So we stopped at Stuffed Witch, and we parked about two spots down from where the horse carriage is right there. If downtown did not have the good parking, I guarantee we would have just stopped at McDonald's or Hardee's or something like that. The ease of getting down there and the parking is really the only thing. And I'm sure that's, you know, anecdotal, and I'm sure that could be multiplied hundreds of times, you know, for visitors and people that are going down there. So if that parking lot there gets demolished, which, you know, I've parked that probably dozens of times over the decades, I really hope there's something to replace it, or we really just might just go somewhere else if we happen to be passing through, saying, it's too crowded downtown, let's just go somewhere else. So just some food for thought, and, congratulations on your retirement. We love the city, you know, it's near and dear to our hearts, and, it's definitely improved over the last, 30 years that I've been, visiting and working and living down there. So
thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for your call, Stephen.
I appreciate the comment. I'm not opposed to parking, and I go downtown and park on the street or in the deck and go in and do something quickly and then come back out, and it is important to be able to park. But there are different types of parkers and different parking needs, and we need to develop our system so that everybody can get around and that the parking serves the people that are using it.
Thank you so much for your call, Stephen. Laura Padgett, recently there's been a good amount of media scrutiny on the spending of elected officials, local elected officials, and on local government staff as well. And you've been written about as having higher travel spending than some of your fellow council members. I think some of the local coverage prompted some Columbus County commissioners to take a picture of themselves in a hotel room, three guys sharing a room. One guy was in a cot, and WECT reported on this. It was a fun picture, and they looked like they were having a slumber party. But the point is, what's your take on how the media is covering the spending? Is this necessary and important oversight? Is it being handled in a balanced way? Or how do you feel about it?
Well, I've always felt that if we're going to have good government, our elected officials need to have a range of experience, and we need to understand what other places are doing, whether it's other counties, in the case of Columbus County, or New Hanover County, whether it's other cities. And to some extent, you can find those ideas on the Internet and through various organizations. It is not the same as a dinner table conversation with fellow elected officials or sitting at a presentation where there's follow-up conversation as well as questions. So person-to-person contacts are important, and I have used those contacts from time to time to get information, to get an entree to speak to somebody that was important to Wilmington, to get ideas. And yes, at one point, my travel expenses exceeded other people's on city council. During that time, it was my privilege to be very involved in the National League of Cities. The year I think that it topped out, I had talked with the city manager, Sterling Cheatham, and told him I wanted to run for the board had a chance of getting elected, and that it would create another few meetings that I would need to go to and that I wouldn't be choosing where those meetings are. And so he understood that and supported my bid to be on the board. I did get elected. Prior to that, I chaired the National League of Cities Policy Committee on Transportation. And as a result of that, I was asked to be part of a national committee, which met around the country in an effort to gather grassroots support for a new funding bill for transportation. And people...
And you're talking about a long-term federal funding bill.
This is a long-term federal funding bill. It expired in 2009. We and other groups were unsuccessful in getting that bill passed in 2009. We beat the bushes as hard as we could. We met with Congress. We met with groups around the country. I brought that committee here to meet in Wilmington, and so Wilmington could participate in that process as well. Congress has not since that bill expired in 2009, passed a long-term transportation funding bill. This is 6 years later. We should be on our next long one. They did pass a two-year bill.
And tell us why that bill is so important to WAVE Transit.
Congress has a constitutional responsibility, quote, to build and maintain the post roads. That was transportation when the Constitution was written. They have a responsibility to fund transportation. They collect the gas tax from all the states. And until we got to the point where people were driving more efficiently, they were using different types of fuel, they were using fuel more efficiently in their vehicles, fewer people were driving as much. So the gas tax as a revenue source has shrunk. And it is no longer sufficient to pay for a six-year transportation bill.
And the federal funding is a big piece. That's a big piece of the local transportation budget.
It's huge. It flows through the state, but it is the basis of our transportation systems. That flows through the state. The state adds its own gas tax money, and then the money is spent locally and throughout the state. But without federal dollars, we are very stymied, and without knowing what those federal dollars will be, we cannot plan for roads. It takes an average of 15 years to get a road, average 15 years to get a road in the state of North Carolina.
We have a question from Lisa who writes, what can be done to reduce traffic accidents in the city? Can we improve traffic enforcement and penalties for running red lights? Wilmington has such a bad reputation for accidents and bad drivers. Laura Padgett has been such an asset to the city, and her skills and experience will be missed. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. I wish I had a solution because a lot of it is just plain human behavior. The more cars, the more hectic our lives are, the faster we want to go, the less patient we are. All those things play into traffic accidents. City of Wilmington does have the red light enforcement cameras, and we use those. Those created about a 30 to 35% drop in side impact crashes in the city when we install those. We do move those around from time to time. It's just a little word of warning for drivers that just because there was one last week there doesn't mean it's not someplace else this week. But those have helped. Human behavior, we have done what we can do. We do talk to other cities about ways to enforce traffic and speeding. Our neighborhoods are inundated with too much traffic and people going too fast. I haven't found a solution. We've tried a lot of different things, and we keep our police officers busy. We get them out. We put the signs that clock your speed limit in various places. We've put some cameras out that actually record not who's driving fast, but what the times are when there's too fast driving, and then we can get an officer out to enforce that spot.
Are there patterns that you see that start to develop citywide? For instance, are there more drivers speeding in morning rush hour or evening rush hour?
It's like a big balloon. When you press it one place, it pokes out in another. And so it's here one place today and someplace else tomorrow. But some of it is just, you know, a buildup of traffic. And we have some very bad intersections. Military Cutoff and Eastwood and College and Oleander are all bad. In my opinion, the best solution is not making those gigantic intersections, but creating additional roads and widening parallel roads that's actually spread the traffic out.
Speaking of congestion, council voted recently to rezone an area in Ogden, which will green light what will become the Ogden Marketplace retail space.
Right.
You were the only member of council to vote against it. Why did you vote against it?
I really went back and forth on that. I had the privilege of meeting the developer, a very nice person who's tried very hard to save the trees and to make his development as attractive as possible. But the traffic issue there is severe. It will get much less when Military Cutoff Extension is built, and that is supposed to be finished towards the end of 2017, I believe. That will relieve that area of Market Street a good deal. However, we have the big new Walmart just up the road, and as it appeared to me that there were as many potential businesses there as possible, each one creating its own additional traffic, adding that much additional traffic at that place just became too much for me, and I voted against it. We just can only fix traffic with so many additional lanes on roads, and as I said previously, that may not be the best way to fix them. We need additional roads. We need public transit. And I'll put a plug in for that.
You're listening to Coastline. We have Laura Padgett, who is completing her fifth term as a Wilmington City Council person. And David, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Why, thank you. I'm relatively new to the area. I live out in Wallace. And last Sunday, I drove the 50 miles in and took my wife to see Chicago at Valley and Hall, and it was wonderful.
Heard good things about that show,
yes.
By the way.
Yeah.
I heard about it from your broadcast the week before.
Great.
And my question is that I'm a disabled vet, and I have a hard time walking, and it was very discouraging to drive all around that building and see 90% of the parking spaces reserved for city officials, and we could not park there, or we would be towed away.
You're talking about in the Thalian Hall parking lot.
Correct. And why can they not issue them a bag and have them put the bag over the sign on the weekends? I mean, they're obviously not going to be using it on a weekend. And it's really discouraging. And I know it affects my thoughts about going back.
Sure, because it seems like an obstacle to you then. You have to think through how you're going to park and then get into the building. Laura Padgett.
I'd park walk away.
What would you say
to
David?
Well, there are seven spaces for city council members and I think two others for city council, not city council, city staff, and then five spaces for the county commissioners. Most of the parking lot right now is still taken up with the construction on the county's building on the other side. So I think that city council members as a rule, as a group, have never had a problem with somebody parking in their parking space, and frequently during Thalian productions, there are people in our parking spaces. However, even though it may not seem obvious at times and you can drive by and those spaces are empty, I and others do use our spaces at very odd times sometimes. And trying to get in to get mail or to see about something and having all the parking spaces used at times is an inconvenience. And that doesn't mean that we are so good we shouldn't be inconvenienced every so often. I really have never thought that. But I think that people do use those spaces at odd times and when they assume that city council is not using them. We do meet at odd times sometimes, though, so that would be a caveat.
David, thanks so much
for your call. But thank you for your concern, and I'm glad you enjoyed the play, and I hope you will come back. And I will say one thing to you. Any marked parking place in downtown Wilmington on the street is available to you if you have a handicap tag on your car at any time without paying for it.
We only have a few minutes left. Laura Padgett, wanted to ask you about race relations in Wilmington. This is something that you've also talked about as having been an issue that's important to you. How are we doing? And have we made progress since 1993?
I definitely think we have made progress. When you're in the middle of the city and you're in the middle of the community and its citizens, it's a little bit hard to judge whether you're making improvements or not. I will say that through the years, I have made many personal friendships with African Americans, people of different races. I think that one of the things I'm proud about Wilmington is that we are a very diverse city, that we have addressed some of our racial issues. Now, you might ask African American citizens, they might disagree with me, so my perspective has to be seen as where I am. But I have some very good friends, and I value their relationships. Some of my best friends are African Americans. I and many others worked very hard in 1997, 98, 99, and for the next 10 years to create the park at 3rd Street that commemorates what I hope is a commemoration of reconciliation efforts in the city.
The
1898 Memorial and those efforts did improve the city and has turned out to be good for the city.
And we are just about out of time. What's the thought that you'd like to leave people with?
Well, you know, I've been here a while, and when I look back, somebody said, well, you know, has it been fun? Maybe not. And I said, well, looking back, I think it mostly has been fun. But I'm proud of the citizens of this city. I think elected officials aren't always the first to know, but the citizens do know, and they have made this a city that I'm very proud to have represented. Thank you.
Laura Padgett, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for your service to the city of Wilmington. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who emailed in your comments and called us. Join us for Coastline every Wednesday at 12:06 here on HQR News 91.3 FM. Coastline is produced by Isabel Shepherd. Our technical director is Ken Campbell. Our webmaster is Melissa Stone. If you miss part of this show, we'll post it on our website at whqr.org. You can also download the podcast from iTunes, and there you can find podcasts of earlier shows. Thanks again for listening. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.